Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy. Brought to you by Go Loud and proudly sponsored by Irish Tax Rebates. The tax agent you can trust with over 20 years of experience. Visit irishtaxrebates.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Very welcome along to another edition of Opinions Matter, one of Ireland's most listened to podcasts. It is Jeremy Dixon here with you on this edition of the podcast. A very different edition of Opinions Matter, and I'll explain that in a moment, why it's just me on my own and what we are doing with this edition of the podcast. First of all, I want to give a big shout out to our show sponsor, irishtaxrebates.ie. irishtaxrebates.ie. If you've paid tax in the last few years, chances are that you are in line for a tax rebate, which is money in your pocket, which is good news. And the people to help you along with that are irishtaxrebates.ie, the tax agent that you can trust, Irish-owned, with over 6,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot. Now, here's the thing. If you've paid tax in the last few years, you could be owed some money back from the tax man. It's better in your pocket than it is in his pocket or her pocket. And based on a study carried out by Irish Tax Rebates, the average person is due a rebate of around €1,092. Now, we've had listeners contact us over the last couple of months that got a lot more than that back. But why not check it out? IrishTaxRebates.ie. You've nothing to lose and everything to gain. They only charge a fee of 10% plus VAT, compared to some other companies doing the same thing that charge so much more than that. So you've absolutely nothing to lose, and you could have some money in your pocket within a matter of weeks. Check out irishtaxrebates.ie, and thanks to them for sponsoring this edition of Opinions Matter. Now, as I said, it's quite a different episode of the podcast. It's just me here. There's no debates. We didn't put this up live on Facebook and turn it into a debate show because when we were contacted by this woman, Joanne, I felt her story, there's no debate in it. There's really no debate in it, because what she's been through is absolutely horrific. And she's going to tell her story in a moment. We're going to disguise her voice as well, which is another reason why we didn't do it live, because it's such a sensitive subject. And what she's about to share with us is so, so personal that we felt it wouldn't be appropriate to talk about it and live stream it, where people will be given all sorts of opinions. Now, I'm talking about sexual assault. And if you are triggered by this, I do want to give a warning. We have given warnings on social media about it as well, but I want to say this before we speak to Joanne. I know this topic may be triggering for some of you, but I think this is probably one of the most important topics that we have done on Opinions Matter since we started this podcast nearly four years ago. And it's important for many, many reasons. It's important because people like Joanne deserve their voice to be heard. And you will hear her story now in a moment, what she's gone through, what she is going through, what she'll continue to go through. But also, given the topics that have been in the news over the last couple of weeks with the Conor McGregor, Nikita Hand issue, it really has brought up the subject of consent, the subject of sexual assault. And seen some of the comments, and I'll put this to Joanne as well in a moment when I speak to her, seen some of the commentary online over the last couple of weeks and some of the names that Nikita Hand has been called by men and women, absolutely shocked and sickened me. Cash grab cow, cash grab slut. They're just some of the disgusting expressions that were used by people online to describe Nikita Hand, who was such a brave woman to come forward. And I remember having this argument with someone online a couple of weeks ago who was calling Nikita Hand a cash grab. And I was like, seriously, no woman would go through the turmoil of taking a case, a sexual assault case against anybody just for money. They wouldn't do it.
Opinions Matter. with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
You're very welcome to Opinions Matter, Joanne.
Thank you.
First of all, we received correspondence from you last week telling us that you wanted to talk about this, the subject of sexual assault. This came up because you were listening to, it was a topic we were doing a couple of weeks ago about consent. It was consent at a Christmas party, wasn't it?
That was one of the triggers. It was actually the week that Nikita Hands got her judgment, that I actually received a letter from the DPP saying that they had decided not to continue with their prosecution. And that was sort of really what triggered me. And then I heard the one about the consent as well. And I just felt it's important that people understand how the system works and how difficult it is for the whole process and what you have to actually go through to get anywhere. And maybe like some of the questions around in the keys of hand about how long it took her to get to court.
Yeah, and you're right. There was so much disinformation online with people saying, why did she take so long to go to court? People are stupid. They did not realise that this had been going on for years. And she had to wait until the criminal case, the DPP decided not to continue with the criminal case before she could take a civil case. Before we talk about your situation, did it annoy you? It annoyed me, and I'm not a victim of sexual assault. Did it annoy you when you saw some of the commentary online from absolute ignorant fools?
Yeah, it's extremely hurtful. It's horrible for anyone that has gone through that. And for women that do try and report these things, it took so much out of me to actually go forward and report what happened to me. I don't think anyone would ever do something like that for money and put themselves through the mental anguish and torture. It is torture.
Let's talk about, and again, I've said this to you off air, Joanne, you go into as much or as little detail as you want. I don't want you to revisit the night in question, obviously, but as much to the extent that you can talk about the incident that led us to talking about this today.
I was raped by someone that I knew of. I was unconscious. I brought myself to the hospital the following evening. When I came around, I was unconscious for about 24 hours. I then went to the guards. I told them what happened. We made arrangements for me to go in by appointment to make an official statement. I hadn't told anybody what had happened. They said to me I could have someone with me or anything like that. I said no. I just wanted to get it over and done with, and I didn't particularly want anybody to know.
Why is that? Because obviously you had close friends, you had family members that I'm sure you've confided in about other things. That's a lot to keep to yourself. Why did you decide to do that?
I couldn't get my own head around it. I knew I had to report it. But I wasn't ready for dealing with my family's upset or my children's upset, or like I wasn't ready to deal with their questioning or them being upset for me. I didn't want to put it on them and then have to deal with them sort of saying, you know, are you okay? And like, oh, this, we're really upset over this. And I didn't want to think about them. I just wanted to think about what was after happening and try and report it and just get it done.
So the process, because a lot of people, unless you've been a victim of this, the process, a lot of people wouldn't be aware. You obviously, you woke up the next day and you realised what happened. And in the timeline of events, then the first thing you did was you went to the hospital. Is that what you would advise people to do?
I went to the sexual assault unit, yeah.
But to do that on your own, Joanne, must have been so tough.
I was in autopilot. I woke up. I was unconscious for near enough 24 hours. I came round briefly and fell unconscious again. Got myself together and just went to the sexual assault unit. It was the only thing I knew that was the right thing to do. I needed to get the proof. You know, I wanted the evidence. I knew something had happened to me, and I knew it wasn't consensual. I knew I'd been raped.
And did you say that to the individual, the other party? Did you say that to them the next day, or what was the situation there?
No, they left me unconscious.
So you were left alone unconscious, with no care as to what sort of condition you were in?
No.
So you took the brave step to go to the sexual assault clinic. Then the Gardaí are obviously called. You made a statement, is that correct?
Yeah. This, just for the record, this person was somebody I knew of. It wasn't somebody I was in a relationship with or somebody I was friends with or anything. It was just somebody I knew of.
And was it a date that you had beforehand, or did you just happen to end up in the same place?
We just ended up in the same place, and they gained entrance to my home.
Oh my God. So the process then is you go to the sexual assault clinic and they obviously do an examination. Then the Gardaí are called, is that correct?
Yeah. The guards were good. And there was a band guard and a male guard took the statement. Like the statement is very detailed. You have to be very specific about like the terminology and stuff that you use.
What does that mean?
Like you have to actually state that someone's penis was inside you.
Ah, okay. So that has to be, obviously it has to be on the record for if there's a court case coming that it has to state exactly what happened. How difficult is that to recount? Especially given that you were saying you were unconscious, how difficult was it for you to recount what happened?
It was awful. It was awful. It was just horrific.
And I'm sure, I know from people who have been through this, the Gardaí are absolutely, well, they're trained to deal with stuff like this. I'm sure they were quite helpful and quite supportive, were they?
They were at the start. I went into autopilot and just went back into work. And I sort of kept it to myself, you know, I didn't tell anybody, but I started to act differently. I wouldn't go, like, I wouldn't walk to the shop on my own. I, unbeknownst to myself, I stopped, like, brushing my hair. I actually stopped brushing my teeth. To this day, like, I haven't got my hair done since. I haven't worn makeup since.
And how long ago was this, Joanne?
It was 3 years. Coming up in the end of December.
The reason I asked that is we've spoken before on the show. I won't obviously tell people what topics and stuff, but we have spoken before on the show, and it just goes to show you never know what someone is going through. Have you had to, because I know you work as well, did you have to go into work every day for the last 3 years and put on a brave face in front of family and friends?
I actually am not working at the minute because how it ended up coming out to my family. I took an overdose and I ended up in ICU in a coma.
My God.
I was trying to keep everything to myself and I couldn't cope with it anymore. I drank a lot and I took an overdose and I was moved to ICU where I was in a coma for quite well.
Now that is bizarre because I knew nothing about this. Obviously we have spoken on and off on this show over the last few years, but you know, people come and go. I certainly never would have thought that this is what you were going through. That's absolutely horrific. Was it your way of coping with what you were going through? And I mean, we haven't even got into the whole legal process and how you feel you were let down by the legal process at the moment. But you just shut yourself down in every single way.
Every single way, yeah. It's only in, going back to, it took well over a year for the other party to even be arrested.
So what is the process with that in legal terms? You give your statement to the Gardaí. I assume the Gardaí then interview the man.
What happened with me was they came to my home and they took photos of the inside of my house. There was a couple of witnesses, not to the actual offence, but there was a couple of witnesses that they needed to speak to. they were trying to build up a case in order to go and arrest him. He seemed to be ducking and diving. They were finding it hard to track him down or pin him down to get to arrest him. When they did finally arrest him, they rang me that morning and told me that they arrested him, and I broke down crying.
What sort of feelings were going through your mind at that time when you heard that he had been arrested?
Even that just felt like validation.
That you were getting somewhere?
Yeah. It was at that point, obviously I had told my immediate family what had happened after I had taken the overdose. But it was at that point when the person was arrested that I had to sit down and tell my children that something had happened. And that was extremely difficult because I live in quite a small place where, you know, word is spread. I didn't tell them, you know, exactly what had happened or what the assault was. I just told them that somebody had done something to mummy and that the guards were dealing with it.
Do me a favour, stay there for a second, please, Joanne. I need to take a quick break and obviously compose ourselves as well, because this is so much to take in.
It's the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon, a podcast from Ireland with a difference.
So, Joanne, you found out from the Gardaí that the individual, the accused, had been arrested. You told your family. What happens then with the legal process?
He was held for 24 hours. During that 24 hours, like, I had no idea, you know, what was going on or anything like that. At that stage, about a week later, I tried to contact the Gardaí to see, you know, had he made any admissions? You know, could they give me any sort of inclination as to what he said or, you know, anything like that? And they couldn't tell me anything. They couldn't tell me anything about anyone that they spoke to. They couldn't tell me anything about anything that any witnesses had said. I was just left completely in the dark. And at that point, then the case was ready to go to the DPP. So the file was prepared for the DPP.
So just to explain to people, this is one thing I do know about, because I have had brought someone to court before about something completely different. And it's not you that presses the charges or decides to. It's the DPP. And people need to understand that, because, again, there was a lot of confusion about the Nikita Hand issue. It's the DPP that either decides to run with a case or not to go with it. So the DPP decided that they had got a case, there was enough to have a case?
It was actually the week of Nikita Hand's decision that I got two guards called to my door, a sergeant and the investigating guard, to tell me that the DPP had come back with no prosecution. They gave me a letter and a form, and the letter just said that I can appeal the decision in 28 days. That's basically the cutthroat of the letter, just the station and stuff like that is on the letter.
Did they give a reason? I know when I got a similar letter, again, nothing on the scale that you got, but when I got a letter from the DPP to say that they weren't pursuing, they gave a reason why they weren't proceeding with the case. Did they do with that in your case?
In the first letter that I got, they didn't. I did fill in the form and I sent off the form for the DPP to get the reason for why they had decided not to prosecute. And I just have the letter in front of me. And it just says, based on available evidence, there is a reasonable prospect of a conviction for a criminal offence. To do that, our lawyers examined the evidence in the Garda investigation file in accordance with our guidelines for prosecutors. The evidence needs to be strong enough so that a jury could decide beyond a reasonable doubt that the suspect is guilty. This is called standard in proof, which is explained. And then it goes on to say that the evidence in the lawyer's opinion wasn't strong enough to guarantee a prosecution, and that the state hadn't the funds to bring a person to court without basically being guaranteed a guilty plea.
Now, we'll talk about why that is the case in a moment, but when you read that letter, what feelings did you have? What was going through your mind?
When I got this, and this was all very fresh to me, because this I only received this on the 11th of December. So, like, I only received the actual appeal back on the 11th of December. And the Nikita Hans, Conor McGregor thing was very, wild at the time. And I just thought, like, when I heard everyone saying things about her, you know, having medical evidence, and she couldn't have had that medical evidence because they would have prosecuted criminally, and she must have been lying because they would have prosecuted criminally, all that sort of stuff.
They just don't understand. The burden of proof is a lot higher, isn't it, in a criminal case?
Yeah. But I just thought to myself, I had a full report from the sexual assault unit. I was covered in bruises. The toxicology report came back that there was drugs in my system. I hadn't taken any drugs. It was Rohypnol that was in my system. And that evidence wasn't enough for them.
And you were probably saying to yourself, you know, with all this evidence that you had given and the evidence that there was Rohypnol in your system, you obviously didn't take it yourself. The bruising, similar to the bruising that Nikita Hand had. And you're looking at this saying to yourself, I've literally told them everything I can and still there's nothing to go on. Can you understand why they didn't proceed with it, given that the DPP tend to only proceed with a case that they think they have a chance of winning? They obviously, and I'm just surmising here, they obviously believe that they didn't have a chance of winning this case, did they?
What I thought was, when I heard the outline of what went on with the Akita Hans case, and the evidence that was put in the civil court, and I sort of thought about my case, the evidence was similar, you know, and I thought, how much evidence do you need? And in my opinion, basically, with the DPP, with cases like rape as such, they want to be guaranteed a guilty verdict, or they're not willing to put somebody through that. I don't know how much more evidence that they need.
And were you prepared? Well, you obviously were prepared to go through the court case, which I believe, from speaking to people in the past who've gone through this, it's awful. You wouldn't put your worst enemy through it. You were prepared to go through that. You were prepared to take the stand, go the full nine yards.
Yeah, absolutely. The letter that I received on the 11th of December, I have another 28 days to send that back to their lawyers again. It's a lawyer for the DPP that actually looks through the file. But what people seem to not understand when the Nikita thing came about, and that's why I wanted to highlight it, women don't go put themselves through this for money. Women don't make allegations like that and put themselves through that trauma for money. And even on Nikita's case, to take on such a powerful person with so much money, that could really destroy you. You know, she didn't do that for money.
And that's why, even though it's a difficult subject for you to talk about, I'm so glad that you reached out to us to talk about it, because, as I said at the start of this podcast, if anything positive comes out of this, it's that other women will come forward. Because I think the stats are something like only 14% of sexual assault rape cases are actually reported to the Gardaí. So by you taking that step the next day, Joanne, and going to the Gardaí and actually reporting it, you're literally only in 14%, which means that 86%, if my maths is correct, of women who have been sexually assaulted just get up the next day and say, I can't go through with this. And I completely respect a woman who does that. I completely understand. They're shocking figures though, aren't they?
Yeah, and apparently it's 3 or 4% of women that actually get a conviction.
Yeah, it's very hard to get a conviction for rape in Ireland. And I was discussing this with Adrian off air after one of the days we spoke about the Nikita Hand case. And I was saying that the problem with the system is, I suppose, rape and sexual assault can be hard to prove because, unlike many other crimes, in a situation like that, it's he said, she said. There was only two people in the room that night where you were, and it just comes down to he said, she said, doesn't it really?
Basically, it does. And it comes down to... really comes down to whether it was consented or not. But when someone has obviously been drugged and someone has gained entry to their home, you start to wonder to yourself, what more proof do I need? And what I would say to women is, this has chewed me up for years. This has chewed me up. I still now won't wear any makeup. I won't get my hair done. I won't look after myself physically because I don't want to be attracted to people anymore.
Well, I totally understand that. I can never understand what you're going through, but I do get that. And I want to delve into that just very briefly in a moment. I just need to take a quick break. Stay there for a second, Joanne.
It's the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon, a podcast from Ireland with a difference.
You were saying before the break, Joanne, that, you know, you've no desire to get dressed up, to get makeup on, to get your hair done. Do you socialise at all now? Do you go out at all?
No, haven't been out since. I wouldn't walk to the shop on my own until about 6 months ago. I wouldn't walk to the shop by myself.
So you're a prisoner in your own home, pretty much.
People have absolutely no idea. And even what I was going to say about the women to report things like this, the burden it had on me when I was waiting sort of for the case to sort of start to proceed and, you know, start to gain a bit of momentum. The offload of that and even the fact of knowing that this person was arrested and that what I had claimed was put to him. And he knows what he did to me. And even me knowing that somebody else has said to him, this girl said you raped her. Even to me, that meant something to me.
Because you're hoping, I guess, that he is living, you'd like to think he is living with the guilt and that is eating him up at the moment. That's what we'd all like to think, isn't it?
Well, rather than just, you know, an incident happening and then just swanning off or whatever, somebody has actually sat that person down now and said to them, you hurt this girl, you raped this girl, what have you got to say about it? That gave me some sort of satisfaction. Even that much gave me some sort of satisfaction.
Have you attended counselling of any sort? Or is that a stupid question to ask? I'm sure you have.
I went to... To be honest, I fell apart. I tried to continue at work and stuff like that. I ended up sort of just falling apart. I did attend some counselling with the Rape Crisis Centre. I was seen by the psychiatric team. I've been seen by counsellors and stuff like that. I don't particularly find it very beneficial. I don't want to keep playing it over and over in my head. I want to sort of highlight things and I want to make people aware.
So what would your message be? There's thousands of women that are going to listen to this episode of Opinions Matter and take on board what you said. What would your advice, warnings be to women who will listen to this? And especially given the period that's coming up where people are out partying and stuff like that, where people are drinking, what would be your advice to women if they find themselves in that terribly unfortunate position that you found yourself in? Would your advice be, because your story, unfortunately, it doesn't have a happy ending because, you know, you were failed by the justice system. They decided not to proceed with the case. And I hate when I hear people saying this. A lot of time you hear people saying, you know, who are victims of sex. I have a friend of mine who was a victim of sexual assault. She never reported it to the Gardaí because she said, because she knows the stats, and she said, what is the point? What is the point? What would you say?
The point is, I suppose, as I said, even for somebody to put them allegations to him and say to him, you did this. This girl knows that you did this to her. And just let it hone in on him that I know he is a rapist. And for women, that it is a very, very hard, hard thing to do. It's by no means easy, but it does feel a lot better to try and get these men to realise what they do to women and the damage that they can do to women. And it's not the day, it's not the day after. It lasts ages, the effect it has on women. I don't think I'll ever get over that, ever.
I wouldn't imagine so. I wouldn't imagine so. And I suppose it's a case of being able to carry on life as, and I know that some of the things you've told me have just etched in my brain, that, you know, you haven't put makeup on, you haven't had your hair done in so long. It's just etched in my head, and I'm sure it will be in the listeners as well. Joanne, I really, really appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us, because we've spoken to you so many times over the years, and I'm grateful that you felt comfortable enough to share your story with myself, especially being a man. I feel terrible for what you're going through. I feel terrible that you didn't get, or you haven't got, the justice that you wanted just yet. Please God. And I hope that, and I know you do as well, by doing this interview, that it will encourage other women to come forward.
Yeah, I hope I give women some strength. And as I said, even if you do get the same result as me and the DPP decides not to prosecute, even to have that person just have the question be put to them and know that it's been explained and it's been told to them, we know what you did to this person, we know what you did to this woman.
Joanne, thanks so much for talking to us on Opinions Matter.
Thanks so much.
What a brave woman to talk to us. And sometimes you'll often notice when we're doing the podcast, we'll have the music playing underneath us here, but I just don't think it's appropriate for the conversation we've just had. I hope that wasn't too difficult to listen for you. It's a harrowing, harrowing story. It really is. But when someone like that comes, we didn't seek Joanne out. She contacted us and said, I want my story to be aired on your podcast. And we were happy to oblige. And I just want to say it again. I'm sure I've said it 1,000 times. She is so, so brave for talking about this and for recounting what happened. That is not an easy thing to talk about. And I know she didn't get the result that she wanted yet, but the purpose of her having this conversation is for you, male and female, by the way. Sexual assault can happen to men as well. And if you have been affected by anything that you've heard in today's discussion, please, 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 I would urge you, and I'm sure Joanne would also, to contact the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, 1-800-778-888. 1-800-778-888. We'll keep in touch with Joanne. We'll follow her story. I'm sure she'll be on the show next week talking about something completely different, as she has done. It just shows you, we talk to you guys on a daily basis on the show, and we just never know what some of you are going through. We really don't. Anyway, that has been Opinions Matter. We'll talk to you on the next one. Don't forget, if you want to subscribe on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts, click the subscribe button on Spotify or Apple. And do please share this episode with people who you think will be of a benefit to, people who have been in this situation, or even if they haven't been in this situation. I think what Joanna's just done is she's giving us all a blueprint on how to deal with these things if, God forbid, they happen to you. Because she gave a great run through of exactly how she contacted the authorities the next day. She did everything right. She did everything the right way. And if you feel that there's someone in your life that should hear this story as well, please do share it with them. And we'll talk to you on the next edition of Opinions Matter.